it's not another episode of the cringeworthy Netflix reality series Love is Blind. No, this is you out on a date with a guy named Mark. Mark Dreyfus, to be correct. Mark works in the same building as you, and after a few chats during chance encounters in the lift, he has asked you out on an official date. Nothing too fancy. It's Italian, but quite a cozy little restaurant with loads of character. The evening has been going well. Mark is the true gentleman. Everything is perfect. He makes eye contact, he shows interest, and there is the expected fair share of flattery. Then, Mark catches you off guard when he says, "You know, Stella, this connection I can feel between us, it's so weird. It's like I've known you in a previous life. There is something so familiar about you, about us." Of course, the statement throws you off because you hardly know Mark. But it's the third glass of Pinotage and the mood is good. So when Mark tells you that you are the reincarnated of his fantasy Cleopatra, instead of making you run for the door, you blush and stutter, not knowing how to answer. Mark, though, never to miss a beat, sees your hesitation and quickly follows up with, "Hey, I don't believe in reincarnation or anything like that, but you gotta admit there is something here between us, right? Or is that just me?" And yes, you have to admit there is something, and even if you're not sure there actually is something, it's weird not to reply. Better be polite, and anywho, you like the attention Mark's giving you, and it's been a great evening so far. So you say, "Yes, this has been good, definitely something." Now, Mark bounces back in full swing. "Yes, right, it's uncanny, I've never had this feeling before, almost like a sixth sense. I wonder how our relationship was in our past lives." And so the night goes on, you still joke around about your previous lives, and then you head home. Later, when you are brushing your teeth, you feel strange about this immediate bond you've formed with Mark. You unquestionably don't believe in that past life's rubbish, but still, you know, somehow the two of you had an incredible, lovely evening, and you have to admit there is some connection, even if it feels a bit forced. As you switch off the lights for a good night's rest, your last thoughts are of Mark. Excitement in making this connection, but a scratchy uneasiness at the back of your head that things are going too fast. In fact, way too fast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a good wherever you are. My name is JP, and this is episode 2 of the 100 Narcissistic Red Flags series. This episode is called The Past Lives Line, part of the soulmate love bombing technique often used by narcissists when dating. We'll dive into this red flag by breaking down what love bombing really is and why narcissists use it. We'll take a closer look at some telltale signs to watch out for, explore the impact of this maneuver, and why it's such a powerful tool for manipulation. Plus, I'll share some helpful strategies you can use if you find yourself on the receiving end of the past lives love bombing. By the end of this podcast, you'll have no trouble spotting this red flag and telling it apart from the hormone-fueled teenager who's just throwing out the soulmate line for kicks. You'll have a clearer understanding of how this fits into love bombing and the classic soulmate ambush that narcissists love to use. I chose this topic specifically for our second red flag in our 100 Narcissistic Red Flag series for two reasons. One, love bombing is a hot topic. And two, because you're going to be surprised how one little phrase on a connection in your past life with someone else can actually have a profound effect on your psychology, setting you up for some proper manipulation by the narcissist. More on that soon. As our podcast is growing, I invite you to visit our growing website. Hop on over to greyrockfiles.com, and that's grey with an E, and find additional articles. On the website, you'll also find a link to our YouTube channel, and I hope to see you there soon. Thanks for taking the time to join me on this journey as we dig into 100 identifiable red flags. And as the podcast grows, I hope you'll grow too, learning how to better protect yourself from the devious manipulation of narcissists and other toxic people. If only Stella had listened to this podcast before going on her date, she would have realized that Mark is probably doing a number on her by proclaiming that they have shared previous lifetimes together. Such a romancer, this Mark. Such a manipulator. All right, Enough with the warm and fuzzies. Let's jump into the past lives red flag and why narcissists are so effective in charming our socks off with this chat-up line. Definition. Usually a definition is supposed to be a short little part, but as we are starting up the series, you're going to find that our definitions are often the longest chapters. Let's return to Mark and Stella. Well, Mark was telling Stella, "It's like I've known you in a previous life." Or you may also hear alternative versions like, "We have this incredible connection. We must have been together in our past lives." The past lives red flag, a line often used by narcissist daters very early on in the relationship forming stage that falls under the big umbrella of love bombing. And this, yes, brings us first to one of the most effective tools narcissists use in getting access to you, love bombing. You'll hear this term being used in podcasts, videos on YouTube, blogs, and you have to watch out for a red flag, they will tell you. But the trouble with labeling love bombing as a red flag is that it's just way too vague and extremely broad. In fact, there's actually more than just love in the romantic sense of the word love bombing. It's more of an emotional bombing of dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, and glitter bomb endorphins. Before we then look at the specific red flag of the past lives phrase, it's important that we begin our journey into love bombing and dissect it bit for bit and get a better understanding of why and how narcissists use love bombing. As there are still many sub-red flags of love bombing to come in the series, I'm not going to cover love bombing exhaustively in this episode, but rather just start off with the fundamentals and then progressively expand on it in upcoming episodes whenever we deal with a red flag that falls within this category of love bombing. Right, love bombing is one of the major tactics used by narcissists to gain access to you. That means a method of getting into your life. I want to add here that apart from love bombing, there are other major tools narcissists also use, namely gaslighting, projection, manipulation, passive aggressiveness, emotional blackmail, triangulation, and a dozen more. I refer to these categories as the main tools of the narcissist, and each one is an encyclopedia of tricks by itself. Now let's go back to love bombing as a tool. We define love bombing as intense, excessive, and insincere display of affection, attention, and flattery towards someone, usually in the beginning stages of a relationship. Note that qualifier, usually in the beginning of a relationship. While this is true and definitely true for the past life's red flag, love bombing happens whenever a narcissist feels they are losing control over their supply. And of course, with supply, we mean you, me, us. This results in what we term the yo-yo effect. When you drift away from them, they'll reel you back in with love bombing. And once you are back, they begin to devalue and minimize and discarding you. Once that happens and you've drifted away, then the cycle repeats. Love bombing mostly materializes in romantic encounters, but it can also occur in regular platonic relationships. For example, a narcissistic boss may shower praise and favor on the new intern they've hired. The idea is to overwhelm you with positive, feeling good attention. Love bombing can be over-the-top flattery, such as excessive praise, compliments and admiration, or constant communication with non-stop texting, calling or messaging. Or it could be grand romantic, like surprise gifts, lavish dates and extravagant displays of affection. Then there are also the intense emotional expressions, declarations of love, obsession or destiny. And finally, a very important aspect of love bombing is the rapid escalation, where you move very quickly from acquaintance to intense romantic involvement. So with love bombing, the narcissist has three main goals in mind. 1, gain control. 2, create dependency. And 3, bypass boundaries. So to gain control, they manipulate you into feeling deeply invested and committed. To create the dependency, they love bomb you to make you feel needed and desired. And then they wear down your defenses and resistance in order to bypass your boundaries. Let's lock what's important to us so far. Narcissistic love bombing is a manipulative tactic where a narcissist showers someone with excessive flattery, attention, and affection to gain control or create emotional dependency. Let's put this in a different way. Narcissistic love bombing is a manipulative tactic where a narcissist showers someone with excessive attention, flattery, and affection to gain control or create emotional dependency. Once the person is attached, the narcissist often withdraws or starts manipulating their target. Right, and that brings us to the next issue. If someone tells you that love bombing is a red flag, then what do you exactly look out for? The dilemma with promoting love bombing as a red flag, as I mentioned earlier, is that you don't really know what to look out for. It's a really, really wide-ranging red flag with no usable specifics as to what you should look out for this term love bombing. Unless you're well-versed in love bombing indicators, you will find yourself time and time again being love bombed. And that's why people keep falling back into the cycle. We're going to pause on love bombing now, and we're going to move on to the destiny or soulmate component of love bombing. We're making it a little bit more complicated than it really is, but once you start seeing these terms in the categories they fit in, also the identification of these red flags become more realistic to you. Now, the idea behind love bombing is to essentially speed up the connection between you and the narcissist in order to establish control over you. And they do this by creating a sense that the two of you are a destiny, predestination, predetermination. And usually here, they drop a very big word. They use this word, soulmate. The soulmate destiny itself is a red flag and an easy one. It's when a narcissist tells a potential romantic partner that they are soulmates. And so what? How can telling someone else that they are a soulmate be a red flag? We fall for the soulmate line in love bombing because it taps into our deep desire for emotional connection, validation, and belonging. By claiming to be a perfect match early on, the narcissist creates an illusion of destiny and ideal love, which feels exhilarating and fulfilling. This overwhelming intensity can blind us to red flags, making us believe we've found something rare and special. It preys on our longing for a deep bond, allowing the narcissist to manipulate and control us before revealing their true intentions. Having said that, there are actually numerous biological factors why we fall for the soulmate destiny connection. And in future episodes, we'll go deeper into how love bombing plays a role in the release of specific hormones that makes us more susceptible to the narcissist's manipulation. Scary stuff. The soulmate line also has very romantic connotations, as people are always hoping to meet the right one. And the claim that we are soulmates is surely a sign that you've met the right one. Once you accept and buy into this fantasy, your normal boundaries of what is acceptable in dating flies out the window, the usual dating process is sped up, and you begin the process of idealization. Idealization, in short, is the state where you are taken up, or rather taken in, by the narcissist's allure, and henceforth, you can only see the greatness, the magnificence of the narcissist. It becomes very difficult to be an objective bystander, and they start leading you by a noose around your neck. Now we've looked at love bombing, then we talked about soulmate, and finally we get to the past life's red flag. This red flag falls under the soulmate category. But instead of directly stating that the two of you are soulmates, it's implied. Saying something like, "I'm sure we were together in our previous lives," or "I feel a connection with you from a previous life," makes the receiver of this phrase feel that there is a connection, the soulmate connection. Let's abridge. The past lives red flag is a classic love bombing tactic employed by narcissists to suggest a previous connection with you, almost as if the two of you were soulmates. This clever manipulation boosts your self-esteem, lowers your defenses, and accelerates the usual pace of romance. Understanding this tactic is crucial in protecting yourself from emotional manipulation and ensuring that your relationship are built on genuine connections rather than illusory bonds. There is a big but here. This red flag just cannot stand on its own. I mean, come on, how many people truly believe at some point in their lives that they've met their soulmate? Almost all of us, right? What we need here is a little bit more context. To truly categorize the past lives line as a red flag for narcissists, you need to check for the following four things, and that is too much too soon, inconsistency, emotional highs and lows, and other red flags. In the chapter on indicators, we take a closer look at them and understand how they all come together to make this phrase of "we must have known each other in our past lives" a surefire red flag extravaganza. Rating. The moment Stella heard Mark say they must have been together in the past life, her red flag radar should have gone off. In any budding relationship, this is definitely one to take seriously, scoring a solid 3 red flags on our intensity scale that measures from 1 to 5. It doesn't hit a 4 yet because it could just be a cheesy romantic line. However, if it feels a bit over the top, way too soon, or doesn't match his behaviors, it's time to pay attention. And that's what a level 3 red flag means. Sit up and take notice. Something's not right here. It's a signal that shouldn't be ignored, so let your narcissistic detector kick into gear and start looking for more signs of love bombing, victim playing, emotional blackmail, or other manipulative tactics. Now think about your situation. Are you an 18-year-old searching for romance and still believing in unicorns? Or are you a divorcee who's had a rough go with marriage and breakups? When we're feeling vulnerable and still holding out hope for true love later in life, that past lives line can hit harder than expected. Time now to dissect why narcissists do what they do. And in this context, why do they use this past lives phrase? What motivates them and what do they hope to achieve? Up next, we reveal the narcissist's motivation. Purpose, motivation, and the DNA. Why do narcissists do what they do? What is it that they want from you? The answer is access. They want access to you, your emotions, your energy, your support, your network, and even more concrete aspects like your money. And why do they want this access? Are they lazy? The short answer is no, they aren't lazy. Notice I didn't say the long answer. That's a different discussion. So we stick to the short answer, which is no, they aren't lazy, but they are empty. Narcissists often appear confident, but they are fundamentally empty inside, lacking true self-esteem and no emotional depth. This emptiness drives their need for external validation and control over others. To fill their emotional void, narcissists latch onto others to absorb their feelings, hoping this will satisfy their insatiable need for validation. They often use love bombing and phrases like "we must have known each other in past lives" to create a false sense of connection. And here they have 3 goals in sight with this phrase. 1, emotional investment. They want to secure you, the victim's investment in the relationship. That's their first goal. The second one then is to control and influence, establish the narcissist's dominance and emotional control over you. And then finally, supply of attention, which means guarantees your attention to them, your admiration, and your reassurance to them. And that's what we mentioned earlier when we talked about idealization. To achieve this, emotional investment, control and influence, supply and attention, they use past lives to establish that instant intimacy. They create this false sense of familiarity, making you feel deeply connected. With this, they bypass rational thinking, encourages emotional decision-making, and override critical evaluation. It goes out the window. And then finally, they create a sense of, I love this word, destiny, which implies a predetermined cosmic connection, making the relationship feel inevitable. This psychological manipulation often begins with an emotional hook that taps into our curiosity and the longing for meaningful connections. By introducing an element of mystique and intrigue, the manipulator creates a sense that the relationship is unique and special. Additionally, they use validation and flattery to make us feel special and chosen, effectively boosting our self-esteem and drawing us further into the manipulative dynamic. And this is where you begin to develop these underlying messages to the extent of, we're meant to be, or our connection is extraordinary, or you're the only one for me. Narcissistic manipulation has some tactical advantages that can be hard to spot. They often escalate the relationship's pace, making it feel thrilling and intense, which can blind us to the red flags. By charming their way in, they deflect attention from their flaws, ensuring we overlook any inconsistencies. Very important concept, the inconsistencies, which are actually present there from the beginning. But because we are blinded, we don't see them. This creates a strong emotional connection, known as a trauma bond, where we feel deeply attached and dependent on the narcissist. The combination of highs and lows, moments of affection followed by emotional withdrawal, can keep us hooked. It's like a drug, it's an addiction, making it increasingly difficult to break free from the cycle of manipulation. In the end, the narcissist benefits by getting emotional control, establish the power dynamics, and secure attachment. Let's look at these three benefits a little bit more in detail. First, we said emotional control. Narcissists excel at manipulating emotions to maintain power over their victims. By fostering intense feelings of love and connection, they create an environment where the victim feels vulnerable and dependent. This emotional control allows the narcissist to dictate the relationship's dynamics, keeping the victim off balance and more susceptible to their influence. The second one was power dynamics. The relationship is often marked by an imbalance of power, with the narcissist positioning themselves as the dominant partner. This power dynamic enables them to dictate the terms of the relationship, often leading the victim to feel less valued or confident. By maintaining this control, the narcissist can manipulate the victim's behavior to meet their own needs, ensuring that the focus remains on them. And then the third one was to secure attachment. Narcissists strive for a secure attachment to ensure a continuous supply of emotional validation. They need you for that. By using phrases like, "we must have known each other in past lives," they craft a compelling narrative that captivates the victim's imagination and secures their emotional investment. This creates a false sense of destiny and intimacy, making it harder for the victim to detach or recognize the manipulation at play. The narrative reinforces their hold, ensuring the narcissist remains the center of attention and emotional fulfillment for the victim. To summarize, narcissists, they need us. They need our energy, our emotions, our resources to make them feel whole. They use various tactics to lure us into their world, and one of the quickest is love bombing, which has impressive psychological impacts on us, blinding us essentially to all other red flags. The past lives phrase is an effective tool that forces a bond between us and the narcissist, which in turn speeds up the tempo of the courting phase and brings the narcissist quicker and closer to our lives. Once we enter their arena, they take control and drain you as they feed off your spirit. Impact. Next, we're going to look at the impact of the past lives phrase on the person being romanticized by the narcissist. What actually happens to us when someone showers us with this implied destiny phrase? I mentioned that love bombing is so successful because it hijacks our psychology and makes it very difficult to respond rationally to the narcissist's charm. Forget logic. Our initial reaction to the phrase is one of euphoria, feelings of excitement, elation, and a sense we are super special. There is also intrigue, a curiosity about the possibility of a past life connection. Even if we don't believe in reincarnation, it's still an interesting consideration. With this comes our own feelings of validation, as we felt we are seen, understood, and cherished. Psychologically, we are affected in the following ways. First, there is dissociation. This means we disconnect from reality as we enter this fantasy idea, and this dissociation leads to poor decision-making. Other psychological effects include trauma bonding, as we begin to form this strong emotional connection despite potential harm or exploitation, coupled with identity distortion, and ultimately anxiety and even obsession, as we nurture a preoccupation with the relationship, fearing loss and rejection. That's all a bit textbook, so let's make it a tad more practical. It means that we begin to bond at an intense emotional level, blinding us to the red flags. We lose objectivity as it becomes difficult to evaluate the relationship critically. And if this continues, we grow into an emotional dependence and rely on the narcissist for emotional validation, which in turn leads to weakened boundaries, making us more susceptible to manipulation. We get internalized messages and they begin to float around in our head like, I'm special because of this connection. This person is the one that makes me feel special. I'm meant to be with this person, or I'll never find anyone like this again. That's a lot to take in. How can one little phrase like, we must have known each other in past lives, have such an extraordinary impact on us? Just remember, the impact we have looked at also includes love bombing and all sorts of flattery, as the narcissist is highly unlikely just to use this one past life's line on you. They're going to use many other as well. You are most likely to experience a barrage of similar lines, and the more they are, the more overwhelming the love bombing is, and the more difficult it is to resist. The past life's phrase can be a potent manipulative tool, creating a strong emotional connection that obscures the narcissist's true nature. Recognizing the potential harm and taking steps to maintain objectivity and emotional boundaries is crucial. Importance. Fully comprehending the importance of identifying the past life's phrase as a red flag is crucial for several reasons. Protects emotional well-being. Spotting this love bombing trick is like having a relationship superpower. First off, it keeps you from getting emotionally tangled up with someone who might be bad news. You know, that whole head over heels thing that can cloud your judgment. Yeah, you can skip that drama. Plus, it helps you keep your thinking cap on straight. Instead of being swept away by all the attention, you can step back and really see what's going on in the relationship. And hey, let's not forget about your self-esteem. When you're not hanging on every compliment from someone who's just trying to manipulate you, you get to keep your sense of self intact. It's like having an emotional shield that lets the good stuff in but bounces off the fake flattery. Then we have early detection and early protection. Catching onto this love bombing business is like having a secret weapon in the dating world. First up, it's your best defense against getting played. When you spot these tricks early, you're basically shutting down the narcissist's attempts to pull your strings before they even get started. It's also a massive time saver. Think about it. You're dodging the bullet of pouring your heart, soul, and maybe even your Netflix password into a relationship that's got more red flags than a bullfighting convention. And let's be real, who's got time for that? By picking up on these signs quickly, you can make a smooth exit before things get messy. You are equipped with a relationship ejector seat. One push and you're out of there, free to find someone who's actually worth your time. Then we can also look at promoting healthy relationships. Getting savvy about this love bombing stuff is like leveling up your relationship radar. First off, it turns you into a pro at spotting the real deal. You start developing the sixth sense for genuine connections, separating the wheat from the chaff in the dating world. You have your own love goggles that see right through the phony stuff. Plus, it's a total game changer for how you connect with people. Instead of falling for the flashy, over-the-top shows of affection, you start appreciating the slow burn, real-deal kind of love. And here's the kicker. You get to know yourself better in the process. Now you're holding up a mirror to your wants and your needs. You start making smarter choices about who you let into your life, all because you've got the inside scoop on these tricky tactics. It's not just about dodging bullets. It's about aiming for the stars in your relationships. Another one to consider for importance is how it empowers boundaries. Getting wise to the love bombing game is unlocking a secret level in the relationship world. Suddenly, you're equipped with this awesome superpower to speak up for yourself. You know those moments when you're thinking, whoa, slow down there, buddy. Well, now you can actually say it out loud, cool as a cucumber. You've got this invisible force field around you, and you're the one controlling who gets in and how close they get. You're basically the bouncer of your own emotional nightclub, deciding who's on the VIP list and who's getting kicked to the curb. And the best part, you're not just playing defense anymore. This knowledge turns you into your own personal bodyguard, keeping these emotional vampires at bay. It's like having an emotional spam filter that catches all the fake stuff before it can mess with your heart. Another reason it's important to be able to spot this is it helps us to facilitate healing and recovery. Getting clued in on this love bombing business is like having a time machine for your love life. Suddenly you're looking back at past relationships and having all these aha moments. You know, those times when you thought, was I crazy or was that weird? Well, now you've got the decoder ring for all that confusion. Finally, you can solve a puzzle that's been bugging you for ages. And man, does it feel good. It's not just about figuring out the past though. This knowledge is like an emotional superglue, helping you piece together any broken bits of your heart. You start to heal, not just from one bad experience, but from patterns you might not have even noticed before. You're not just fixing the old stuff, you're upgrading yourself. You start growing in ways you never expected, all because you learn to spot these tricky tactics. It's not just about avoiding the bad stuff anymore. It's about becoming the best version of yourself. And one more we can add here why it's important to understand this red flag is it helps us to enhance emotional intelligence. Getting hip to this love bombing jazz is like upgrading your emotional operating system. Suddenly you're tuned into your feelings like never before. It's as if you've got an emotional weather app giving you the forecast for your heart. You start picking up on those subtle mood shifts, like a relationship detective with a magnifying glass for feelings. But it's not just about noticing the vibes. You become a pro at managing them too. You now have your own internal DJ mixing and adjusting your emotional playlist to keep you grooving smoothly, no matter what love song is playing. And here's the cherry on top. You basically build up your heart's immune system. Each time you spot one of these tricky tactics, you're doing emotional push-ups, getting stronger and more resilient. And before you know it, you're like a relationship ninja, dodging manipulation moves left and right. It's not about becoming cynical. It's about being savvy and keeping your heart open but protected. And it takes practice. Like we said there, it's not about becoming cynical, but often that becomes a big part once we start identifying the red flags. And it's important that we move beyond that cynical stage to that part where we are healthy. With all of this, we can say that by recognizing the past lies phrase as a red flag, we'll learn how to protect our emotional well-being, develop discernment for healthy relationships, establish strong boundaries, we'll facilitate healing and recovery, and we'll enhance our emotional intelligence. Indicators. Important clarification. It's essential to recognize that the phrase past lies or suggestions of a cosmic connection aren't inherently manipulative. Many people, especially in the throes of new love, may innocently express similar sentiments. This phrase can be a genuine expression of deep affection or a playful romantic notion. However, when used too early in the getting to know phase or in conjunction with other red flags, it can indicate narcissistic manipulation. That's why we gave it 3 red flags, because we said you do need to look out for those other red flags. With this red flag, it's important that you sit up and start paying attention and see if you can see what's going on. In addition, it's essential to acknowledge that many individuals hold genuine spiritual or religious beliefs about reincarnation, past lives, or interconnected souls. For some, these concepts are integral to their faith, cultural heritage, or personal worldview. People from various backgrounds, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, or indigenous cultures, may naturally incorporate these ideas into their understanding of love and relationships. Therefore, it's crucial to respect and differentiate between sincere beliefs and manipulative tactics. For us, we are looking for the sneaky narcissist character who is not interested in establishing a healthy emotional bond with you, but rather to go all vampire on you the moment you fall into their trap. There are 3 key considerations here: context, intent, and cluster of behaviors. With context, we are considering the relationship's timeline and development. First date, like Mark and Stella? With intent, we evaluate whether the phrase is used to control or manipulate. And then for the cluster of behaviors, is what I've mentioned during the 3 red flags, is that you have to look out for multiple red flags, not just this isolated incident. Let's have a look at what to look out for. There are the initial red flags. too much too soon. With overwhelming attention, gifts, or declarations, you get intense emotional expressions like professing their love, obsession, or destiny. There's also constant communication, non-stop texting, calling, and messaging, and then grand romantic gestures like lavish dates. They spend big time on you. Surprise getaways. We go away to Bali for the weekend. Or excessive spendings. Those are those initial red flags. But also look out for manipulative language. And that can be past life connection, the past lives, suggesting a cosmic or spiritual bond. There's also the destiny of fate, implying the relationship is predetermined. Then soulmate or twin flame, labeling the relationship as extraordinary. And then another manipulative language technique is exclusivity and possessiveness, demanding commitment or isolation. You can also check out for behavioral warning signs. There is the love bombing intensity. It's sudden. It's intense affection, followed by withdrawal. Then you have emotional unavailability where it's inconsistent, or sometimes you experience evasive behavior by the narcissist. There's gaslighting, distorting reality, making you question your perceptions, and then the boundary disregard, disrespecting your personal space or boundaries. Also, keep your scanners peeled for emotional manipulating tactics like using guilt to control or influence, shame or blame, shifting responsibility or inducing self-doubt. Then you have emotional blackmail, this threatening self-harm or consequences. I'm going to harm myself. If you don't pay attention to me, I might just do something bad. And then there is a very famous one that they love to do when they try to emotionally manipulate you, and that is playing the victim, portraying themselves as vulnerable or helpless. Poor me. Other notable indicators are the inconsistencies. Very important. This discrepancy between words and their actions. There's also evasion and secrecy, avoiding personal questions or hiding information. You'll also notice disrespecting boundaries, ignoring or pushing past established limits, and then self-centeredness, prioritizing their needs and desires above everyone else's. Internally, you can watch out for the following warning signs. Your unsettling gut feeling. There is this persistent unease or intuition. That feeling when you go home and you just feel, this is moving too fast, it doesn't feel right, but we had such a great evening. That should be your internal gut red flag. Also watch out for overwhelming emotions, where you are completely bombarded and you feel overwhelmed, anxious, and you feel drained. Very big red flag. Another internal warning sign is the loss of identity, where you're feeling consumed by the relationship. This is an easy line, but I've seen this in real life where I've seen how people change the type of clothes they wear. Women stop wearing makeup because the partner doesn't want them to wear makeup, or vice versa, start wearing more makeup. When you suddenly feel that you are that vision of what your partner wants you to be, then you've lost your identity. And then the last internal warning sign is doubting yourself, questioning your own judgment or sanity. The famous example here is that moment when you start thinking that you need to record conversations because what you remember and what your partner remembers is completely opposite. That's when you start questioning your sanity. Massive red flag. Everything we've talked about now, these indicators, that's quite a list. But most of these actually go under love bombing in general. So by getting familiar with these indicators will help you vastly in spotting the bigger umbrella love bombing red flag. But for the past lives indicator, it's actually as simple as you hear the expression, you hear the intent of the speaker telling you, you must have shared some cosmic destiny before. And then all you need to do is it too early, too much, too soon? Do I spot any inconsistencies? And how do I feel internally about this? Combine all of this together, and that will give you your red flag. Just remember to always consider the context, try and understand the intent, and identify whether it's a part of cluster behaviors. Strategies. To effectively counter manipulation tactics like the past life's narrative, it's important to develop a mix of emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and firm boundaries. A strategy in this context is a planned approach designed to safeguard your emotional and mental well-being. The purpose of these strategies is to help you stay grounded, maintain control over your reactions, and set clear boundaries to protect yourself from manipulation. You have to take time to think about these strategies and mentally rehearse how you would react if you found yourself in such a situation. If you're no longer in the dating scene, this might just be for interest's sake, but if you're still out there and looking for a partner, practicing these mental rehearsals can be incredibly valuable. This way, you'll have a prepared response that your brain can rely on when confronted with the past lives line. We have a number, 8 strategies in total. Let's start with strategy 1. This is your initial response when you are still shell-shocked by the fact that somebody actually tried to use this line on you. First, pause and reflect. Take time to process emotions and thoughts. This is something you really need to practice because we don't usually pause. Second is, don't engage. Avoid feeding the narcissist's supply with excessive attention. And then, maintain your objectivity. Separate the facts from emotional manipulation. Strategy 1 is that initial response. Strategy 2 is your emotional regulation. That's internally. And here you first recognize the flattery. Understand that this is flattering words. Understand the appeal you have when someone flatters you. Now, 2, detachment. Distance yourself emotionally from the narcissist's praise. Really look at yourself in this praise as an outsider. And then 3, self-awareness. Monitor your emotional state and reactions. Are you being overwhelmed? Do you feel giddy? And understand that your feelings is a natural biological response to flattery, and you should look at the true intent. Strategy 3, now you need to bring in critical thinking. 1, question the intent. Ask yourself, what's going on here? What do they want? What's their motive? 2, verify consistency. Check if words align with actions. Often they will say something like this, and the next day, when you try to phone them, they don't pick up. Suddenly, the soulmate, we are past lives, the connection doesn't feel that strong anymore. That's what we mean by the inconsistencies. There's no alignment in what they said and how they behave. And then, skeptical inquiry. Investigate the claims. Don't take things at face value. Strategy 4 is the boundary setting part. Here you have to first clearly communicate. Assertively express your feelings and limits. 2, establish your boundaries, set clear expectations for interactions, and then we have consequence enforcement. Follow through on consequences for boundary violations. This is a lot of advice condensed into a few lines. We'll expand on this in future episodes. Strategy 5 is protective measures. Limit your interaction. Restrict time spent with the narcissist. Limit it. Seek support. Surround yourself with trusted friends, family, or therapy. This is where you will hear a friend tell you something like, "No, man, that is so cheesy. It's so corny. This guy's a player." And then remember self-care. Prioritize emotional well-being and stress management. Strategy 6 is countering the manipulation. 1, gray rock method. Remain neutral, unemotional, and unresponsive. 2, don't take the bait. Avoid reacting to the provocative statements. And then 3, reframe the narrative. Challenge the distorted or exaggerated claims. Strategy 7 is recovery strategies. First one is to go no contact. Establish distance for emotional safety. Of course, if you cannot go no contact, you have low contact, gray rock method. Or you do some self-reflection, identify vulnerabilities and areas for growth and professional help, seek therapy or counseling. I don't think you'll seek therapy and counseling when it comes to that first encounter and you hear the past lives phrase being used. But if it goes beyond that and you find yourself hooked already in a relationship and the love bombing yo-yo cycle starts, that's where you have to move to this extreme. And then strategy 8, our last one, is immunity boosters. Self-awareness, develop emotional intelligence. That's the awareness we talked about earlier. Healthy relationships. Nurture positive connections. Become that ninja who can identify good relationships. And lastly, emotional resilience. It will help you to practice stress management and coping. Remember, narcissists adapt. Be prepared for changing tactics. They don't get deterred easily. Second thing you have to remember about the narcissist is you have to stay vigilant. Continuously monitor interactions. And finally, prioritize your self-care. Protect your emotional well-being. Last note I want to add here is that you should work towards combating emotional hijacking. I will probably mention emotional hijacking still a lot in upcoming episodes, but for now, let's do a quick definition. Emotional hijacking happens when your emotions take over your thinking, leading you to react impulsively or irrationally. In these moments, the emotional part of your brain overrides the logical part, making it harder to think clearly or make calm decisions. In easy terms, you are not in control. Now, when we hear this or we read about it will lead you to react impulsively or irrationally, we think crazy. We think someone who's throwing a tantrum, that kind of level. But it's far more subtle than this. Narcissists use various techniques, like love bombing, to emotionally hijack you. So it's important that you build up some defense for this as well. And for this, I want to add the following strategy in terms of combating emotional hijacking. To effectively manage emotional responses, start by recognizing your emotional triggers. This means identifying situations or people that make you feel vulnerable or reactive. And once you're aware of these triggers, you can practice emotional labeling, acknowledging and naming your emotions instead of letting them take over. That's your emotions taking over. By clearly identifying what you're feeling, you can regain control of your responses. And finally, reframe your emotions by challenging any negative self-talk that arises. This involves consciously shifting your perspective to a more constructive or positive viewpoint, allowing you to better manage your reactions and stay composed in difficult situations. If you're already very deep in a narcissistic relationship, counseling and therapy will put you through this process. I always look at things I write down and I look at a paragraph like this talking about emotional triggers, and I know it actually translates into years and years of practice in real life with failure upon failure upon failure. So just remember, the advice that we give here, it doesn't happen overnight. You often need a professional hand to take you there and help you get there. It could be friends that have gone through it, it could be supporting groups, and it can be a therapist. But don't expect the change to happen overnight. Don't expect to be able to do emotional labeling overnight. It's constant, constant practice. Celebrity focus. Now, actually, for this one, we don't really have clear cases of celebrities who have used this, but there are some interesting references in the media as to people who have insinuated that they are connected to someone else. And we're going to reference here Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. So Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' whirlwind romance began back in 2005, almost 20 years ago. Cruise, a devoted Scientologist, reportedly believed Holmes was his soulmate due to the church's teachings and spiritual connections. Their relationship was marked by intense romance, with Cruise displaying over-the-top enthusiasm and declarations of love. We have all seen the video of him on Oprah, and if you haven't, just go and have a look, because until you don't see that video, you don't understand what we mean by over-the-top enthusiasm. Just go on YouTube, Tom Cruise, Oprah. However, behind closed doors, Holmes began to feel trapped and isolated. Friends and family members grew concerned about Cruise's controlling behavior, citing Scientology's significant influence on their relationship. Katie Holmes hinted at these feelings in a 2012 Vogue interview, describing herself as suffocated and lost. They had married back in 2006 and had a daughter, Suri, but their relationship continued to unravel. Holmes filed for divorce in 2012, citing concerns about Scientology's impact on their child. The divorce and subsequent custody battle were highly publicized, yet we have very few details as to the contents. Andrew Morton's unauthorized biography of Cruise, released in 2008, alleged the actor's intense focus on finding a soulmate aligned with Scientology's teachings. After the divorce, Holmes prioritized rebuilding her life, career, and sense of self. This high-profile relationship serves as a cautionary tale about the potential dangers of intense, controlling behavior masquerading as love. It highlights the importance of recognizing red flags, maintaining emotional boundaries, and prioritizing personal autonomy.